Amen. You may be seated this morning. We're going to turn our attention to God's Word for the next few moments. We're going to consume some spiritual food, and then we're going to go have the physical food in the family center. I had several people ask me in the last couple days, "Are you ready for Christmas?" And I didn't really know how to answer them on that one. I'm not going to ask you that, but I am going to ask you, how many of you, there's someone yet you have got to buy a gift for? How many of you, there's somebody yet you've got to, that's okay, some hands are slowly coming up. You didn't want to admit that you weren't finished yet. I want to help you out. I want to give you some suggestions, if I could. Maybe it's someone that's really hard to shop for. I am hard to shop for. My wife says that to me every year. I'm picky. And it's a pain. Maybe it's somebody, this happened to me yesterday. I was talking to someone and they said, "I thought I was done with all my Christmas shopping, but then somebody gave me a gift. I didn't anticipate them giving me a gift. Now I gotta go find something for them." Or maybe it's something, you just haven't known what to get a person. Here's some suggestions. How many of you, come on, you can be honest with, how many of you like bacon? Can I see your hand? You like bacon. All right, okay. So here is suggestion number one. You can get bacon-flavored toothpaste. Bacon-flavored toothpaste. And that's pretty, you know, that's pretty budget. Okay, $5.99 for bacon-flavored toothpaste. Amazon is where you can get that. That's exactly right. Now, I don't know how many of you like jerky. I know that Bill likes jerky. He brought me a piece of jerky one day and said, "Chew on this, Pastor." But so if you know somebody that likes jerky, this one has just a little bit of a twist to it. It's jerky that looks exactly like earthworms. Dried earthworms, yeah. So Night crawlers. This is going to set you back a little bit more, $13.49 for the packet of earthworm jerky. Now, I don't know, I hope I don't offend anybody here, but I found this one. I thought, now that's a unique gift. It is a guest book. You can't see it, but it's called a bathroom guest book. And you keep it in your bathroom by the toilet, and have anybody sign in who uses your facilities. Maybe you've got someone you think they've got everything. I bet they don't have that right there. Yeah. How many of you, maybe you've got somebody that you need to buy a gift for and they are into pets? Let me just ask, how many of you have a dog? Can I see your hand? How many of you have the same trouble that we have had when you're trying to take a picture of your dog, the dog won't look at the camera? How many have experienced that? Dog won't look at the camera. So this would be the perfect gift for them. It is a little device that fits on top of your camera. It's the Poochie selfie ball. And you put it on top of your camera and the dog looks at the ball and you snap the picture and you've got the perfect picture for the dog, yeah. Yeah. Now, some of you, you're not a dog person, you're a cat person. And so I noticed this is on eBay, you can get this. It's called by different names. The one listing called it the Kitty Straitjacket. The Kitty Straitjacket. And so on eBay, it suggests how you might want to use this. They called it a cat grooming bag. You put your cat in there, and you can give the little stuff eardrops. And then, you know, it helps you clip the... That cat looks like it's trying to escape to me from the cat grooming bag. But it's $22.99 plus shipping. The only question it didn't seem to answer was, how do you get that cat in the bag? Now, I'm thinking a lot of people can probably figure out how to get the cat in the bag the first time, but how are you going to get that cat back in that bag the second time? That's beyond me. Okay. All right, Artie, getting a few ideas for Christmas gifts here. Here's one. You can give a pair of socks to someone with your face imprinted on your socks. You can get that for $19.99. And I don't, you know, to me, I wouldn't like the idea of somebody stepping on my face all day, you know? But you can get that. Or if you, listen, to help you wake up in the morning, this is a new one this year. It is the selfie toaster. The selfie toaster. And you have to, it makes this little metal thing here that you put on the outside of your bread, then you put it down in the toaster, and up comes a picture of you for $69.97. Just a couple more and we'll be through. Somebody say praise God. This one here, what every person needs to have, if you're women, put it in your purse. If you're men, I don't know where you're going to put it. But it's called the emergency underpants. Emergency underpants, you carry it in your, and you can get it for $4.99. And this is, I know it's so hard for you to see with all the light, but right here it says, fits most adults. I'm thinking it doesn't fit most adults equally well, but fits most adults. Then really, I had a disappointment. I had something I wanted to get you, to give each one of you as you were leaving today. But unfortunately, when I went to get the pickle-flavored candy canes, they were sold out. I am so, so sorry. Well, listen. We're not going to talk today about these gifts. We're going to talk about the greatest gift. Yes. The greatest gift. I was listening to a radio program the other day, and they were talking about where Christmas gifts got their start. And one of the commentators said, well, Christmas gifts, they got their start when three magi brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the stable where Jesus was there lying in the manger. Well, I hate to tell you, that commentator was wrong. Wrong on two accounts. First of all, the Magi did not show up at the stable where Jesus was in the manger. If you look in Matthew chapter 2, you'll find that they came and Mary and the babe were in a house. But they were wrong on another account. Gift giving at Christmas did not begin with the Magi. Gift giving began with God. As He gave, probably the most familiar verse in all of God's Word, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. So that's the gift that I was wanting us to talk about for a few moments this morning. And I kind of had a little bit of a quandary. I didn't know exactly what to call this message. My first idea was God's wonderful gift. And I think that that would be appropriate. How many believe the gift of Jesus is wonderful? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. And then I thought, well, maybe instead of wonderful, maybe we could call it God's marvelous gift. Yeah, I didn't like that one as much. I thought about maybe we could call it God's amazing gift. This gift is amazing. Amen. Or maybe we could call it God's miraculous gift. I went through kind of a whole list of possibilities, and I really couldn't settle on one. And so I thought, I need to take a look in the Scripture and see what is it that the Scripture calls this gift of Christ and salvation and eternal life. What does the Bible call it? Well, it's not marvelous, glorious, amazing, but we find in 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. His indescribable gift. Now, why is the gift of Christ's salvation, eternal life, referred to as indescribable? I'll tell you why. Because if you took all of those previous possible titles, amazing, wonderful, marvelous, glorious, each one of them were appropriate individually, but put them all together, they would still fall short of encompassing all that this gift of Christ and salvation means to us. This verse literally means that there are no words in human language, whether English, Spanish, German, French, whatever the language would be, there are no words known to man that can accurately and completely express the greatness of God's gift. But we are going to call the message, and you noticed it probably in your bulletin this morning, God's indescribable gift. I'm going to give you five reasons why I think God's gift is amazing, wonderful, miraculous, glorious, and indescribable. Let's pray first, okay? Father, as we study from your word today, I pray that you would speak to us and that you would teach us now. Help us to hear what you would want us to hear from your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. So why is God's gift indescribable? Why is it indescribable? Reason number one is because it is beyond our ability to understand. It's beyond our ability to comprehend. It is pretty tough for our mind to get a grasp on the fact that Jesus was the eternally existent Son of God. Always has been, always will be. We read this verse of scripture a couple Sundays ago from John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's referring to Christ. And the Word, Christ, was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus was actually the active creator in Genesis chapter 1 when the heavens and the earth were formed? It says, through him, Christ, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. It's pretty hard for us now to take God, who's always been, and understand how he could become flesh. But in the same chapter, verse number 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. How could God come down and take on human flesh and be born as a baby? And even his entrance into the world was not attention-getting. Very few people even took note. Very few witnessed it or even knew what was happening. There was no great fanfare, no earth-shaking arrival. It's hard for us to comprehend how God could or even would do that. I had a man one time say to me, listen, if you can't comprehend it, how can you believe it? Oh, that's silly. There are many things that I can't comprehend, but I still believe. I don't comprehend gravity. I don't know how it works, but I believe it. And if I don't believe it, it's reaffirmed whenever I fall. Gravity, it works. I don't comprehend the speed of sound. I don't know. And maybe somebody here can explain it to me. I don't know. I don't know how I can say the word hi. And this microphone picks up hi, changes it into a digital format, shoots it out the bottom of this microphone to a receiver up there. And then the sound goes through the amplifier and through wires up to the speakers and out the speakers, and you are hearing me say, "Hi," at the same time my lips move. I don't understand that. But it does, and I believe it. We believe all kinds, we don't understand all kinds of things that we don't believe. You, right now, are sitting, Chris, you're sitting on a pew that is moving. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Constant motion. Because these pews are made up of wood. Molecules of wood. And the molecules are made up of atoms. And the atoms are made up of protons and neutrons. And around the core of the atom are the electrons that are continually circling. And the pew that you're sitting on is in constant motion. That's another thing that's hard for us to understand. But we believe it. We believe it enough to put our weight on it and sit on it. There's things we don't understand, but we do believe. And the same thing is true with the birth of Jesus Christ, the eternally existent Son of God coming and taking on human flesh. We don't understand it, but we believe it. And the interesting thing is that God does not want anyone to receive his Son because they understand it. He wants us to receive his Son by faith. We simply believe it. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must," stop, understand how it was all possible? No. It says, "Anyone who comes to him must simply believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." There is a certain degree of understanding, by the way, that only comes after believing. How many of you, there's elements of your walk with Christ that you never could have understood before you came to know him? But now that you know him, it makes sense. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." The first reason that God's gift is indescribable is because it's beyond our ability to comprehend. But we simply by faith say, "God, I believe that your Son Jesus was sent from you. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life and he died upon the cross for my salvation." There's a lot we may not understand. There are things we may not understand until we are with him in glory. But meanwhile, we say, "I believe. Jesus, come into my heart. Live inside of me. I want to live for you." All right, we better move quickly. The ham is probably almost done. God's gift, why is it indescribable? Number two, because it crosses three dimensions of time. It crosses three dimensions of time. It was the gift that was given. It's the gift that is given, and it's the gift that will be given. You know, I can show that to you just by looking at one verse of Scripture, that verse of Scripture that we looked at a little while ago, John 3:16. The gift that was given, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." That's past tense. 2,000 years ago. He gave, he gave, his one and only son. And the Bible tells us in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That's past tense. This gift of Christ, salvation, eternal life, is a gift that spans past, and it is today, present. It is a gift that is given. And John 3:16, that whoever believes, that's right here, right now. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can open up your heart and you can receive him today. As a matter of fact, the Bible says now is the day of salvation. Right here, right now, before you leave this place. It's the gift that is a today gift. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The gift was given for all man 2,000 years ago, but the gift is given to us individually, personally, when we receive Christ into our heart and lives. And we do that by faith, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the what? Gift. The gift of God. So that leaves us the final dimension that this gift spans. It's a gift that was given, it is a gift that is given, and it is a gift that will be given. And that's why in John 3:16, it finishes by saying that whoever believes shall not perish, but have. That's future tense. Future tense. God loved the world that he gave, past. Whoever believes, present, will have eternal life. That's an indescribable gift. John 6:40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him, that's present, here's the future, shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's future. It's the gift that spans three dimensions of time. And by the way, this eternal life that is yet to come, the Bible is clear it is a part of the gift. You know this verse, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, what gift? This indescribable gift of Christ, salvation, eternal life, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Three. The third reason that God's gift is indescribable is this. It is the opposite of what we would give if we were God. Opposite. Now you might say, well, how can you don't know what I would give if I was God. How can you say that? I'll tell you how I can say that, because every religion in the world, devised by man, has one thing in common. Every religion devised by man has one thing in common. It acknowledges that there is a separation between God and man. You guys can't hardly see that screen because of all of the bushes and the stable. You working with it? Okay, good. Every religion has this in common, a series of steps that man must take to be reunited, reconciled with God. It doesn't matter whether it would be the religion of Islam. You must observe the five pillars of faith. And if you adequately observe those five pillars of faith, God may, he's not obligated, God may approve and welcome you into his presence. But it's dependent upon your obedience. All right, well, how about Buddhism? Maybe we could try that. If you eradicate from your life all personal passion, personal identity, and go through a series of rebirths, reincarnation, upwards of 1,000 may take, then you may reach nirvana. But it's all because of your efforts. Or how about if we go with Hinduism? If you build up enough good karma in your life by doing good works and having good deeds, then not only will you go to be with God, but you will become a god. And you'll join with hundreds of thousands of other gods in Hinduism. Here's what makes God's gift different. God did not send Jesus to give us a series of steps to follow to be reconciled with him. God sent Jesus as the one step whereby we could be reconciled with God. Jesus paid the price entirely. It's not my human effort. It's not by trying harder to be good. It's not by keeping all the laws and regulations and the ones that I've struggled to keep and the ones that other people expect me to keep. And it's the gift of God coming down, Jesus Christ, who we simply receive into our lives. Jesus himself said, he was the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by him. And Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came, this is the reason he came, to save, to seek and to save what was lost. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am the worst. If you've ever been talking to somebody and they said, I don't know if God would ever accept me. I have sinned. I have really fallen short. I'm probably the worst sinner there ever was. Uh-oh, that spot was already taken. Paul said he was the worst. He was the worst. So at best, you can be second worst. Or at worst, you can be second best, or however that should come out. But what you can know is that if you come to God through receiving this indescribable gift of Jesus, the Father stands with arms open wide to receive you. He sends his Son for you and for me. Why is God's gift indescribable? Number four, because we are so unworthy to receive his gift. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We're not worthy. There is nothing that any one of us have done to deserve his gift. There's nothing that any of us have done or can do to earn his gift. Nothing we can do to qualify for his gift. As a matter of fact, if we try, here's what the Bible says about our efforts in Isaiah 64:6, all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Quit even trying to please God, to be accepted by him, to meet with his approval by your own efforts. No, instead, receive his indescribable gift of Jesus Christ, salvation, and eternal life through him. Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The last reason that this gift of God is so indescribable is his gift was unique, one of a kind, can't be duplicated, will never be replicated. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Have you ever bought anything in your life and you thought, I'm going to buy this because no one has one like it? I remember, maybe a car. Ever bought a car? Maybe a car of a particular color. Nobody has a color quite like this. And then as soon as you buy it, all of a sudden you start seeing all kinds of cars that color. I remember when we were serving as interim pastor in Sutherland, Oregon, at the Assembly of God Church there. There was a lady in the congregation, her name was Betty. And Betty came and told me, Pastor, come out and see my new car. It's a limited edition. They're only going to make a few. Nobody else will have it in the parking lot, just me. It's called a PT Cruiser. Do you remember when they started producing the PT Cruisers? They said, now this is going to be a very, very limited edition. But then people started liking it and wanting it. And so they made more and more and more and more. And a few months later, she came to me. She said, I'm so disgusted. I look everywhere I see is a PT Cruiser. Some of them just like mine, same style, same color. The gift of Jesus, indescribable, because it will never be duplicated, it will never be replicated. I was listening to Christian radio the other day, and there was a preacher, he was going strong on there, and he made this statement. He said, there was nothing special about the birth of Jesus. Mary went into labor. She delivered him just like any other mother would deliver a child. What was special was the conception of Jesus. I understood the point he was trying to make. That is true. But I want to say, I disagree. I think there is something special about the birth of Jesus. Because every other child that has come into the world was born to live. Every single one of us in this room, when we were born, our parents had hopes and dreams for us. They even had a future in mind for us. Every child comes to live, except for this child. Jesus was born to die. Born to die. The Bible tells us in Mark 10:45 that he came to give his life a ransom for many. That's why he came. He said he came to lay down his life. Here's the bottom line of the message this morning. We'll be through in 2 or 3 minutes if you can all kind of hold your seat so we don't disturb one another. Here's the bottom line. There's a lot of different reasons that gifts may be given over the next couple days. Maybe even somebody in here. You're giving a gift out of duty. Ever anybody give a gift out of duty and you'll admit it? Yeah. Yeah. Kind of felt obligated. They gave us a fruitcake last year. Let's give them one back. We give gifts out of duty, out of obligation. Some gifts are given out of guilt. We're trying to make up for something that we said or did. And so we're hoping a gift will help. Some gifts are given out of joy. Certainly they are. This gift, this indescribable gift that God gave of Jesus, God's gift was motivated by pure love. Pure love for us. God wasn't obligated. He didn't send Jesus out of duty. He sent Jesus out of love. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God says, this is how I'm showing you my love. I'm showing you my love by sending you my Son. And the next verse says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Would you pray with me?